Let me remind you, too, that Christ said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And then finally, by way of introduction, let me underline this. Oh, how we need to be reminded of this. Every generation has to hear this. The law, the Ten Commandments, were not given to save anyone or to justify anyone before a holy God. So many people think of the law as a means of salvation. The Bible clearly states that no flesh will be justified by the works of the law.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series in the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part three of a message titled, Approaching a Holy God. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
I pray that in these next few minutes, our hearts would be open and ready to hear from you. I'm so thankful that you know exactly where we are, each one of us. You know the challenges in our lives. You know the needs, where we need correction, where we need comfort. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to teach us right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 20. And I really don't want to jump into Exodus 20 without reminding us a little bit of what took place in 19, because they go together. Before the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, the scene itself set the table, you might say. And if you have some time, well, I read the whole chapter. We looked at it briefly last time together when I was here, but let me just read a few verses out of 19 to remind you of who it is that gave the Ten Commandments, because, you know, we jump into them in chapter 20 and just hear them, but want to remember what took place, what set the table. And starting at verse 3 of chapter 19 of Exodus, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Oh, he reminds them, you remember what I did. And I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. The Lord is a tender, compassionate Lord. And he took Israel and he bore them on eagle's wings. And they tell me that eagles sometimes teach their young to fly by bearing them on their wings and then letting them go and then catching them if they have a struggle. But either way, I don't think we need to know the details to just see what a picture of tenderness it is. And his desire for Israel. Verse 5, Now then, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. I want to use you, Israel, among all the nations, because the whole world is mine. And I want you to be a representative nation for me. And I want to remind us of the holiness of God, the approach to a holy God. Verse 10, the Lord also said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for all the people all around, saying, Beware that you don't go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. Don't take this lightly. God's going to come down to the mountain. And don't you dare touch the mountain. And if someone does Kill them, but don't touch them. Do it from a distance. You can't miss it, can you? Verse 20, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." You see, God is a tender, loving God, but He's also a holy and righteous God. And when we approach Him, we'd better approach Him on His terms. Warn, go down there and warn them, Moses. Don't they dare, maybe they just bust in, maybe there'd be some more adventuresome types who'd just say, "Oh, I'm just gonna come in, go on ahead and break through the police line, you know, so to speak, and go in there and gaze, lest many of them perish," he says. And also, verse 22, "Let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou didst warn us, saying, 'Set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go down now and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them.'" So Moses went down to the people and told them. God is absolutely holy. He never changes. He's the same God tonight as he was in Exodus 19 when he said, "Don't you let anybody touch the mountain." And we talked about it last time. And we talked about the amazing privilege, because we were having communion, a picture of communion with the holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But your approach to a holy God must be on his terms. In fact, don't ever think of casually approaching the Lord. And I mean this in the ultimate sense. I don't mean that you can't talk to your Savior, you know, throughout the day. I'm talking about our real approach to God. I'm talking about the way we think about life. I'm talking to you if you're thinking in terms of, well, if when I face God, I'll face him. I believe, you know, that I've done a pretty good job. And you're thinking casually about your approach to God. Don't. Approach him casually, and this chapter would teach us, die. There is an approach. There is an approach, amazingly enough. But there's only one approach. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, but you must come on his terms. And I just remind you tonight, it is a tremendous blessing to tell you there is an approach to the holy God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. If you come through Christ, you can come boldly. And we looked at that. The joy of coming right into his presence, because we come cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I feel the need to say it, because it's one of the great lessons we're supposed to learn from this scene. Our day, like really every generation, has dreamed that God's approachable pretty much how you like. And you can come up with your own way. Yesterday, I was in a bookstore in Northern California, and I looked, you know, it was a used bookstore, so I went over to the religious section, and they had a chair there, so I sat down because I wasn't really wanting to be in the bookstore, but I was waiting for my wife. You know, so I knew I didn't have much time, maybe 3-4 hours. Not really. But anyway, I said, you know, I'll look, and there wasn't much there. There usually isn't in the, you know, religious section, but I saw this one book called The Seven Bibles. So I picked it up and just read the foreword, and it so represents the way man thinks, you know. Seven different holy books, basically. And so They divided, you know, the Bible of Islam, the Bible of Hinduism, the Bible of Judaism, and the final chapter, the Bible of Christianity. And the foreword just set it up so that, you know, take your pick. They're all talking about the same thing, basically, and it's okay, you know. And rather than just telling you about them, we're just going to let them speak to you, the author said. So I thought it was going to be excerpts. And I turned to the Bible of Christianity, the last chapter, and interestingly enough, instead of doing what he said he'd do, which was let the Bible speak and have excerpts from the Bible, it was mainly telling how the Bible was formed and the human element of how the Bible was formed. But I did find, and I did rejoice, that there was a passage there, and I'm going to read it to you. In fact, you can turn there if you like to. Romans 3. I don't know about the book, you know, seven Bibles, etc., but I did say, well, you know, this page right here, because he did quote Romans 3, and he quoted these verses, and I thought, you couldn't do better, you know. Romans 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There is an approach to a holy God. We can be declared righteous. The whole book of Romans is about it. But there's only one approach. There's salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus, Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12. But I read that and I was reminded of the great truth. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, and it's available to all who will put their faith in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, let me come back to Exodus and let's watch this unfold just briefly. The 19th chapter sets the scene. This is the scene. And boy, if there was one thing they knew at this point, you don't just come to God. You don't just come into his presence. And it's at this point that the Lord God spoke. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. For God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Now, I want us to notice several things here. And you can just see that they're obvious, but they're things we need to remember. First of all, these 10 words, 10 commands, but literally it's in the Hebrew, he says these 10 words, 10 words of imperatives, words of commandment. These 10 words were given to Israel as a nation. Look at verse 2. "I'm the Lord your God who brought you," who's he talking to? Israel. "I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." He took this people out of Egypt, and he's speaking to Israel as a nation when he says, "I'm giving you these things." Now, nine of the ten are reiterated in the New Testament and given a much broader application. The only one that isn't is remembering the Sabbath day. And interestingly enough, people love to make that the focus. Some people love to make that one their focus. And there's whole groups, little sects that grow up around the Sabbath. But the New Testament doesn't repeat that one. And in fact, the New Testament, listen to Colossians 2, what the Bible does say about the Sabbath. He says, verse 16 of Colossians 2, "Therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day." Or over in Romans 14, listen to these words. When Paul is talking about things that really aren't black and white and we ought not to fuss over and fight over, he says this, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. He who eats not, for the Lord he does not eat, and give thanks to the Lord. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's." He says, you know, don't make too much of eating meat or vegetables in that chapter. He says, and days, he says, one man observes one day above another. Another man says, every day's alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. In other words, the New Testament takes that out, basically. And I will tell you tonight, he'd never say that. He'd never say, well, one man steals and another man doesn't. Be fully convinced in your own mind. No, the other nine are moral and universal. But the tenth, fourth, is this one that's not reiterated in the New Testament. But nine of them are. Even though it's given to Israel, nine of them are reiterated and universalized by their application in the New Testament. Thirdly, let me just remind you that these are the only words, as far as I know, in the law that we think of as the Mosaic Law that were spoken audibly to the whole assembly. Turn over to Deuteronomy 4 the other time when he tells about the giving of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. "Only give heed to yourself." This is Moses speaking to Israel. Deuteronomy 2nd, Deut, or, you know, onomy or law, nomos law. It's the Greek term, really, for the second giving of the law. It's kind of the Greek label for this Hebrew book. And it's this reiteration of the law. And so Moses is kind of reiterating things in Deuteronomy. And he says, now give heed to yourself. Now he's speaking to Israel. And he says, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire. Remember that night? Remember that day, he says? The mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of his words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. It alone was spoken audibly, and the ten words, the Ten Commandments, alone were etched in stone. And by the way, they were alone that which was put in the ark. So they have a very unique place in Israel's history. Let me remind you, too, that Christ said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And then finally, by way of introduction, let me underline this. Oh, how we need to be reminded of this. Every generation has to hear this. The law, the Ten Commandments, were not given to save anyone or to justify anyone before a holy God. So many people think of the law as a means of salvation. The Bible clearly states that no flesh will be justified by the works of the law. I told you that I was glad they picked Romans 3 in that book I was looking at. Take a look at Romans 3 again. Glance at it with me. I picked it up, and they, in fact, started the quote, and I just read you the quote starting at verse 21. But read verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because, watch this, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Are you thinking tonight, maybe? Well, I try to do my best to keep the Ten Commandments. I probably haven't kept them all, but I do my best. And I think it's a good, and I think when I stand before God, underline it. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Approaching a Holy God, a message from our series in the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Southwest Bible Church is excited to offer its Adventure Camp program again this summer, an all-day camp for kids in kindergarten through fifth grade. Last year, Adventure Camp was able to offer a fun and safe experience for the summer, and they're excited to do it again this year. Each week, kids can look forward to Bible teaching, outdoor activities, crafts and ceramics, cooking projects, field trips, and much more. Be sure to check out the new siblings discounts as well. Visit our website at www.adventurecampkids.org for more info and save a spot for your kids today. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. It's best to check the 800 AM program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Life is all about your relationship to God. You shall have no other gods before me, he starts. And then the second, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. It's really a reiteration of the first commandment, isn't it? You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make other gods.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part 4 of the message titled, Approaching a Holy God. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.